1 Peter 3:12-19. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers that may be ashamed, that falsely accuse you for good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ has also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. I'm just going to speak on disciple, on a disciple. So we talk on what we've sort of been covering tonight. I looked up a brief description of what a Christian disciple is, and this is what it come up when I have paraphrased it slightly, but a Christian disciple is a person who accepts and assists in the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ. In addition, we should always be ready to give testimony of the reason for the hope that is within us and in us, within us, and disciples others to walk in his way. Tonight I'm just going to try and encourage you to get involved, as Johnny has already done, try and encourage you to get involved in the work of God. No matter, Mr. Barnes, my minister, always used to say, it's not your ability, it's your availability, if I could speak. Your availability to God is what is important, not your ability, because it's God that does the work, not you. If you can realize that there, you can be realized that you can be used for something. The first point I have, 4 points, and they're very short. First point is, it's your duty. As a disciple, it is your duty to spread the news of Jesus. It says in our verse, in our, my reading there, in verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. Always be ready to tell people that you're a Christian. Never be afraid to tell them that there. For as it says in that reading, it's better to suffer for righteousness' sake than to be suffering for evil doing. Christ commands us to share the gospel. It wouldn't be right if you knew the cure to cancer, but would not share it with others. As it is with the cure to sin and eternal punishment in hell, it is up to the believers of the gospel to spread this news abroad. You cannot enter into heaven by works alone. But as a Christian, you cannot go through your life without doing works. God's word says it's essential. In James 2 and verse 26 it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In other words, you need to do works. If you're truly saved and living with God in your heart, it should be your desire to do works. If that's not enough, just even with God's word, here are some facts I read on BBC News a couple of weeks ago. Now, they're only up for a very short space of time, but there was 2010 British adults surveyed in the 12th of February 2017, and the survey suggests that 17% of all people believe the Bible version word for word. So there's only 17% of people actually believe the Bible word for word is true. 31% of all Christians believe word for word the Bible version, rising to 57% among active Christians. So in other words, people, and active Christians are people who attend church once a month. They're probably quite a relaxed word, but only 50% of them actually only believe the word for word. Exactly half of all people surveyed did not believe in the resurrection at all. How can we have a Christianity if we don't believe that Christ rose from the dead? Because that's the break of sin. 46% of people say they believe in some form of life after death, and 46% do not. 20% of non-religious people say they believe in some form of life after death. 9% of non-religious people believe in the resurrection, 1% of whom say they believe it literally. There's a few facts that are, this is British people now, that our country is badly going down the hill in terms of religion or what they believe. Christianity is nearly a word to a degree, and they take parts of it what they want to of the Bible, and other parts they don't want to take it. If you want to believe the Bible, you have to believe it all. Somebody said one time, do you really believe that the whale swallowed Jonah? and asked this Christian man, did they really believe that the whale swallowed Jonah? And the Christian man replied, if the Bible had told me that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would have believed it. So that's the way you have to believe the Bible. My second point is where can you be used? In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then again in Mark 16, verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, everywhere. That's where you should preach it, everywhere. There's no place you shouldn't preach it. Everywhere is the simple answer to that. Wherever God has placed you to preach it, that's where it should be. And when Jesus said here, in all nations, that meant to the one you... can't even read the own print, never mind my own writing. When Jesus said here, all nations, that also meant the one you live in. So you live in the British nation, you should preach it here. It does not always mean you have to leave your home or family. You can go to work right here. Where does not always mean in a church building either. It can be here at Lestuder. It can be sitting beside somebody in the bus. It could be anywhere. It's anywhere, everywhere. That's where God's word can be preached, and that's what God means when he said it in the Bible. You don't have to be a missionary and go to faraway fields. So my third point's how. This can happen in many different ways. For example, being a missionary in a faraway land, being a Sunday school teacher in your own church, helping out in an open air meeting, or even just witnessing to a friend at school or work. You see, in God's work, it takes all sorts to make things happen. Just because you might not be a preacher, it does not make your work any less important. The church needs a cleaner, the bus needs a driver, and God will reward everyone who is helping out in his work as long as they are doing what he has called them to do. In 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to verse 16, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body? As you can see from the verse, that every member of the physical body has a job to do. It is the same in Christian body. If you are saved, God has a job for you to do as well. The job is not sitting on a seat watching everybody else do the work, but you not getting involved in anything. You could be involved in something no matter how little that work is. And one way of doing that is even encouraging others who are in the work, by encouraging them that they're doing a good job or whatever, and helping them along. Some examples of disciples in the Bible, I just done this very quickly, but I suppose the most obvious are the first 12 whom Jesus chose. They're probably the most famous who helped Jesus spread the gospel. Next one I thought of was Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. Silas, who helped Paul preach the journey between countries. They all did different jobs. There's different jobs to be done. But there's a few maybe less known ones, or ones you maybe never considered to be a disciple. Mary and Martha, they opened their home to Jesus and gave him food to eat and somewhere to preach. They were disciples in that. There's another one called Tabitha. In Acts 9, verse 36, it says, now there was at Joppeth a certain disciple named Tabitha, which interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It does not tell us much about this woman, except that she was full of good works, and later on in the passage says that she was raised from the dead. Because of her good works towards others in Christ, her name was mentioned in the Bible. She went down, she'll be remembered for history as long as the Bible's here, and it'll be here forever till God comes. She'll be remembered and taught about, and it doesn't tell you all the good works it did. It just said she did good works, and that good works could have been anything to do with church. You need not be forceful in how you share the gospel. You don't need to go out and slam it down somebody's throat, if you like. You share it with compassion. You can also be a good witness by the way you live your life and conduct your affairs. People are very good at reading other people's body language and how they deal with different situations. For example, if you never curse or take the Lord's name in vain, this will be noticed. If you always are honest in everything that you do, people pick up on that sort of thing. They might ask you why you do this or whatever, and that opens a door. That's a nice opening to be able to tell them why. You don't have to actually go to them. They have asked the question, so the door's actually open to you to tell them why you don't do them things. You see, you cannot be a Christian and be dead wood, as it were. This is a quote I took off the internet, and I thought it read quite well. That's why I put it in here. My English grammar wouldn't be as good as this, so I have to confess that. We are to share our faith and tell non-believers about the wonderful changes Jesus Christ has made in our lives. No matter what our maturity level in the Christian life, we have something to offer. Too often we believe the lie of Satan that we don't really know enough or haven't been a Christian long enough to make a difference. Not true. Some of the most enthusiastic representatives of the Christian life are new believers who have just discovered the awesome love of God. They may not know a lot of the Bible verses or the accepted way of saying things, but they have experienced the love of the living God, and that is exactly what we are here to share. The fourth point is reward. Whatever work that God has called you to do, do it with enthusiasm, knowing that God will reward you in heaven. God has promised us eternal life, free from pain, weeping, etc. Our bodies will be renewed, and everything that sin has done by entering into this world cannot be in heaven. Heaven will be a place without sin, and where we will be able to enjoy God forever. That's a great reward to have. This life is only as a vapor that's passing away. Paul wrote these words in 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. So, if you fight a good fight on earth, as it were, as Paul had done, your reward's coming in heaven. I just conclude that, really. That's quite fast and quite a lot of waffle, and as you can see, I'm not a very good preacher, and I don't feel called to preach, yet I'm standing up here because God has asked me to do it, so I encourage you to do it. Even though you mightn't feel comfortable, you mightn't get a lot out of it, but if you get half of out of it what I got out of it, I'll be very impressed, because it is actually very good to study. And even if God asks you to do these things and you feel like you're not, maybe nobody else is getting anything out of it, if you're getting something out of it as well, it's still well worth doing. To conclude, really, it's your duty as a Christian to spread God's word, so never feel that you're inadequate, you're whatever. It's your duty to do it, and God will be with you every step of the way. Everywhere is word to do it, anywhere and everywhere. You can do it by preaching, by being a helper, by just your conduct towards people, sharing a brief word of testimony, whatever. And it'll all be rewarded in heaven whenever you're called home to glory. But can I also finish by saying that if you're not a Christian tonight, you have a bigger problem. And I encourage you to become a Christian, to admit that you're a sinner, and that there's only one way into heaven, and that's through the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross and his rising again from the dead. Him rising again is what broke the power of sin, because sin entered into the world through Adam by his eating of the forbidden fruit, and that was death. So Jesus broke that power of death by rising again. That's why we need to believe it. I'll just leave those thoughts with you.